So, welcome everyone to our blessing of November the 13th, and this is the season of autumn harvest and quiet bliss. The year has most of what was going to happen in the year has happened, and we're now in a reflective mode as the leaves fall from the trees and the first snows occur, and we move into the quietness of our home. That reminds us actually to move into the quietness of our hearts and to look for stillness within our being and the kingdom of heaven within. So often in the spring and summer months, we are distracted with the external beauty around us. And it doesn't mean that isn't heaven also. But I think there's something very special about when we return to the hearth and home of our own being. And we look for the quietness that we find in moments such as this, or good books, or listening to special recordings or music, or just visiting with friends around the dinner table, and bringing together the feast of our year. So it's in that that spirit that I bring us to the table of God and remind us to look within and to seek for these rich blessings that exist no matter what the external dramas or challenges may be. And I know from your letters and some of you with calls that there are definitely challenges and hurts within the heart for some of you, losses, griefs, hopes that have not materialized. But I commend you to the patience and the peace that you find within your heart, because all is well in God's kingdom. And sometimes we are not given to be the solution to a particular problem. We are meant to assimilate the lesson that comes with that problem and find within it the peace and resolution that lifts us to a higher level. For in our whole being is the presence of God when we look for it. So we are into our blessing call now, and I have not taken interactive calls for a while because we had such potent and powerful information to deliver, and we also have some for today, but I thought it might be nice to pause in the spirit of how we're conducting this blessing today and see what's in your heart. Anyone that has something to share or a question to ask. I see that we have Cecilia on the call, and that's all I get on the caller ID. Maybe it may be a friend of Cecilia, but you're open anyway.
Hello, Glenda. This is Cecilia.
Okay. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Now, I'm not crying when I'm talking to you, but gosh, excuse me. Okay. I just wanted to say that sometimes when you haven't taken callers, you have answered the questions and the things that were in our hearts. At least that's true for me. So I just thank you so much for your offering in these calls, and just want to say that you're so tuned in that even when you don't talk to people, you are talking to people.
Well, thank you so much for giving me that feedback. But actually, I rely on the fact that Yeshua is listening to your heart, and he's kind of answering the questions for me.
Yeah.
So there is a dialogue going on, even if it's not verbal. And that brings up, really, I think, a very potent comment here. Because inside of our blessings, when you turn to your prayer, they don't always have to be verbal. And the answers don't have to be verbal. And sometimes the most powerful communications we have in life are nonverbal. It could be a look, a glance, a feeling, an energetic presence, something that just moves into our life and gives us joy or peace or comfort. And I know from the many times I've been asked to be present with people who've lost a loved one, there aren't any words that can comfort. There just simply aren't. The only thing that helps is a hug and a peaceful look and a glance that says, I love you and you're not alone. But how can you put words on a moment like that? And so I rely upon the Holy Spirit and Yeshua. And, of course, that's what the blessing is all about. So thank you for mentioning that, Cecilia, because I think that's sometimes why I don't turn on too much dialogue, because sometimes our words are just words. And sometimes the questions that are formulated with words are questions that don't have answers through words. And I really appreciate your sensitivity on that. And thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And hi, Tom. I see you're on the line. Let me unmute you. So there you go.
This is Tom in Chicago.
Welcome.
I'm in Chicago. I'm in Hawaii.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it is.
And send your blessings to all of us.
Okay.
Sunshine and paradise.
Well, in case you haven't noticed, I have been doing just that. I mean, it's just an idyllic place, and these beautiful flowers and the fragrances.
Oh, yes.
And it's time to leave and all that. And, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But anyway, I've had a wonderful time swimming with the wild dolphins. I missed yesterday, but I'm having a wonderful time out here. I highly recommend it for blessing givers or not alike. It's just, they're all about play. It gets you out of today's frantic environment.
Oh, yes. It's one of my goals at some point in time to have a blessing givers conference in the islands. For exactly that reason. And
yes.
I'm just waiting for the opportune time and the signal from Yeshua and
sure.
the Holy Spirit and perhaps a little bit of recovery in our economy so that more people can afford to travel there. It will be happening. I already see the image, the destiny of it all.
Part of the reason I wanted to be here was with the 11:11 thing.
Mm-hmm.
At 11 minutes after 11 locally yesterday, we were in a pod. You know, we had gotten into the water in a circle, and we're all holding hands with our snorkel gear, and we're toning, and probably 7 or 8 dolphins started swimming about 10 or 12 feet below us, circling.
Oh, that's great.
And it's hard to put into words. We don't have words for experiences like this.
No, we don't.
But anyway, I just wanted to share that and let you know I'm doing fine, I'm healthy and all that, and say hi to everybody, you guys.
Oh, thank you for speaking up, Tom, and for bringing us blessings from the island paradise. We all feel it, and we all appreciate your love. And I'm so glad that you're doing well, and I know that you will continue to just get better and better and better.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anyone else who wants to share today? If so, now is your chance. And if not, I really want to speak today, actually. It's interesting that there are so few questions. Oh, here comes one from Kathy. Hi, Kathy. You are on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Kathy from Lake Arrowhead, but this is also
from New Bedford.
Yes.
We are both blessing givers and ran into each other at we were on for 11:11, and there are 500 people here, and we sat next to each other at dinner and discovered we were both blessing givers.
Awesome.
So we're here to receive the blessing today together. So I just wanted to say this is a great celebration in order to have this opportunity to receive together.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. And it's so great that, pardon me, you're together. I'm going to take just a drink of water.
Do that.
That you're together in this island paradise, because what I want to talk about today is the kingdom of heaven that dwells within and the heights of the kingdom of heaven that have no words that can express the bliss and the peace, healing and the wholeness that we feel when we're there. So just the two of you being there holding that for us is a wonderful extension. So I hope you will actually offer the blessing today along with me.
All right.
And that will be a great completion to this gateway that we have all been invited to walk through on 11-11. And I want to talk to you about that just a little bit as well. I think we as humans sometimes place a little bit too much symbolic significance on numbers and the synchronicity of dates or even legends that go along with these dates. Now, that's okay. That's totally okay if it also invokes us to walk through the gateways that these dates and moments symbolize. And so I think just as Yeshua was telling his observers that all the images we have of heaven being a place of palatial heights with golden streets and angels and harps and riches abundant and gardens with fruit trees and all the things we can imagine, still those are but symbols for that which can never be put into words. And the real kingdom of heaven is actually the presence of God that dwells within us. When he said, they were asking him, well, when will kingdom come? When will the kingdom of heaven come here? And he said, well, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I want to add a little bit of clarification on the translation of that phrase, at hand. One of the, I would say perhaps one of the most unfortunate sequences in the translation of Yeshua's work is that it was first translated into Greek. That was the next language. It was actually spoken to the people in Aramaic and written primarily in Hebrew, which was the sacred text of the people, although some of it was written in Aramaic. There was a symbiosis between Aramaic and Hebrew. They were very similar, except that Hebrew was the sacred text. The perspective of the I'm going to take us off of Q&A. Background noise there. And I want to see. We may get back to Q&A mode after I've delivered my message, but for our recording, I think it's always nice to have a perfect recording with no background noise. So when it was taken into Greek, it actually didn't just translate into a linguistic difference. It translated into a cultural difference. The Hebrews and the Semitic people centuries and centuries had a very scribe-oriented approach to language. They denoted everything from their business records to the sacred text. Language was a sacred thing to them. And this is why they considered the Bible to be of a sacred nature. And this is one of the things the fundamentalists of today do not understand. Perhaps I can point out that misunderstanding after I first fast forward a little bit into the Greek language and show you where the confusion came in. But first I want to talk about the Hebrews, the Hebrew language. It was linguistically so finely tuned that every letter within every word had a meaning. And every letter within every word even had a numerical value. And so this is why some researchers have diligently decoded the Bible for for its symmetry, its symmetrical perfections, its word perfections, its verse perfections, and so on, because they realize that in, now this would not be true. This simply would not be true in the English language, but taken back to the Hebrew, yes, what they're looking for is there, but as it gets translated into other languages, that symmetry, that rhythm, that numerical value is broken. Now, the reason I said, unfortunately, the first language that the New Testament was translated into was Greek, because the Greeks had a totally different viewpoint on language. For them, words were symbolic embodiments of thought and ideas. They were the philosophers of the ancient world. And for them, it was all about ideation and visualization. And as the ideas were translated into Greek, it became not the pure word with the pure meaning of the word, but it became the idea behind the word. So let's examine the difference between that phrase, at hand. In Hebrew, it literally meant something you can touch. You can see, feel, and touch. It's right here, right now. It's already embodied. It was that literal. Now, in Greek, it would mean forthcoming. You see the vast and significant difference. The kingdom of heaven is forthcoming. Now, you could say, well, he meant it in the immediate sense once we prepare ourselves, once we find our pure self, once we perfect our heart, once we cleanse our bodies with baptism and our hearts and our souls with redemption. And guess what? That's exactly how his message was translated as it was carried into the Greek people. But that isn't what he was saying. He was saying the kingdom of heaven is something you can see, feel, and touch. It's right here. And it is as palpable as the kingdom of hell that you have already deeply cultivated. What you need to do is see, feel, and touch right now the kingdom of heaven. It's within you. You can. It's right here. It's in every cell of your body. It's in your being, your soul, your spirit. The spirit is in every cell of your body. Receive it as a blessing. Peace is here and available to you at this moment. Receive it in faith. It's right here. It's already here. That's what that phrase meant, literally, in Aramaic and Hebrew. When it went to Greek, it meant forthcoming. So we must prepare ourselves. We must cleanse ourselves. We must study. We must pray in the sense of expectation. But Yeshua would say, no, pray as if it has been done. He said very clearly to me, everything you pray for has already been given. Only your receivership is that which has not happened. Only your willingness to receive, only dropping the boundaries that prevent you from receiving has not happened. Drop those boundaries, stand in your faith, and all has already been given. There is no time where God is concerned. The past, the present, the future are all one. There is no space where God is concerned. And we are one with God. It is we who've created the boundaries. It is we who've created the distances. And because we created distances, we created the necessity for expectation and the necessity for hope and the necessity for preparation and therefore. Yeshua, in the way he thought and spoke, was incapable of creating doctrine. He couldn't, because he lived it. He was it. Life is the doctrine. The presence of God within you is the doctrine. It's not something you formulate contextually with your mind and then hope to achieve it somewhere in the future. And so when he would talk about repent, he was not talking about first walking the path of darkness and looking at your sins and counting your sins and saying what a terrible sinner I have been, and then preparing yourself for the altar and then walking toward the altar and saying, please save me, God. I have to tell you something that may come as a surprise, but in the original transcription of all the scriptures, even in Greek, and the Greeks were the most, had the strongest tendency toward conceptualization, but even in Greek, there is no word for salvation. There is no word for Savior. He never referred to him as a Savior or salvation, because he never considered there was anything to save you from. It was all an illusion that man had created through his own separation from God. This is something we as humans have inserted into the gospel and inserted into the teachings of Yeshua. And this tended to come as the message of Yeshua filtered into the various languages of government that governed. You see, after about the first century, Christianity and government became one. And then that government was translated, you know, it was governed by many languages, ranging from Coptic to French to old German, old English. And many of these languages came from cultures where fighting and judgment and alienation and proving your valor through conquering your fears through faith were part of their past belief systems. And all of this filtered into Christianity. And the original message of Yeshua was then turned into the idea that he brings the message of perfection, therefore it is our salvation. Well, that there's a truth in that, but Yeshua never presented it as a pathway you have to walk to first admit that you're a sinner and then from your sins be saved. He never cast anyone as a sinner. He never called anyone a sinner. Never. Ever. Now, he did acknowledge that none of us was without having committed an act of sin. But that's very different. To say you have done imperfections is one thing. To say you are an imperfection is another. And this is one of the great paradoxes that very few doctrines have ever reconciled. And that is that if you read the scriptures very close, it's not too far away. He will say, there are none without sin. And then he will say, be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven created you to be. In other words, he would acknowledge your perfection of being, while at the same time admitting that, yes, we have created less than perfect actions. We have engaged in destructive actions, but we are not created in sin. Despite all the miscreation about man being created in sin, all you have to do is read the first book of Genesis to see that man could, if you take that even metaphorically or literally, either way, man wasn't created in sin. Man was created in the likeness of God and lived in perfection with God until man's own judgment and embedding with his own mental obsessions namely his own penchant for creating doctrine, separated him from the perfection of living with God. Moving into separation was a secondary condition for man, not the primary condition. Evil was never part of primary creation, ever. It was a derivative that came about through our separation, and our separation was actually facilitated through doctrines of judgment and doctrines of limitation and doctrines of separation. And all of these ideas that, well, we're separated, therefore we have to do this, that, or the other to perfect ourselves in order to receive the blessings of God. None of that is true. It's all an illusion created by man. You are a child of God. You were created in the perfection of God. And Yeshua said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The kingdom of heaven still dwells within you. It is within you. And it is at hand. And when he said at hand, he meant it is palpable. It is here. It is touchable. And this is where our two blessing givers in geographical paradise can help us feel that beauty as they convey the blessing with us today. Feel the blessing. As you form your prayers in the heart, feel the presence of God. Today is a day I want to encourage you to feel the peace of God, feel the joy of God, feel the presence of God within you, feel the blessings that have already been given. Now, you may not have found them yet in the external world. That's part of your adventure. And we all set forth on that adventure so that we could discover what has been hidden out there, like Easter eggs. And we're all children going out to look for the Easter eggs. But the gift of Easter, let's look at the gift of Easter. The gift, the true gift of Easter, is the resurrection of the spirit, the soul, that has never known separation from God. It is eternal. It was born eternal. It lives eternally within us. And even at death, surrendering the physical part of us to its mortality, it still reigns in its immortality and its union with God, and then goes out to look for the Easter eggs. So you may not have found all the Easter eggs in your that are hidden beneath the trees in the forest of your life, or the pastures, or the baskets, or whatever your Easter egg may be. You may not have found it all. I'm sure you haven't, and you've probably deeply hidden some of them so that you maintain the adventure and the search. But let the immortal self today know its union with God. Let the immortal self that lives within you be in the kingdom of heaven, and let that be your prayer, that in the kingdom of heaven you may find the presence of God within you to be palpable and at hand. To touch, to feel, to sense, to know, to fully realize, to inhale, to breathe within you, to flow through the bloodstream of your body, for your heart to pump and your cells to receive. So this blessing will be conveyed energetically from God through the Holy Spirit that is always in us to be touched as our brother would touch us by Yeshua, because he is here to remind us that even in our mortal form, we are in the kingdom of heaven. And I, your sister, join Yeshua to be even more mortal, to be one among you whose Easter eggs are still hidden, who, like you, I am on the journey to find all the blessings that have been given but not yet discovered. And so, from God to the Holy Spirit to Yeshua to me to you in your heart, we form a perfect bridge for the bringing of these blessings. And I invoke the presence and request the presence of our blessing givers who choose to join me in the deliverance of this blessing. It's conveyed energetically. No words can express what is given, for they come. The blessings come from the high places of spirit, which is pure energy that transcends not only words but all concepts. They cannot even be reduced into metaphors. They cannot be reduced even into thoughts. It is beyond that. And as it flows through your body, it will capture all the words and the concepts and the images you offer to it and carry those words, thoughts, and images into the perfect delivery of prayer into the heart of God. And then after this transmission of energy, I will let you know when it's complete. And you go and rest and assimilate for 7 minutes, because it will be delivered to every part of your body, heart, soul, and being, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And let it bring the peace of God, the wholeness of God, the healing of God, and the love of God into every part of your being. So we shall begin, and I would like to begin by calling forth the presence of Yeshua, and I would ask that you sit comfortably in a chair with your shoes and socks removed, your feet on the floor, and otherwise just simply surrendering to your presence in the universe. Dear Yeshua, I thank you for being with us, our bridge between human reality and heavenly reality, both of which have been given to us, that we may have the perfection of God within us and also the adventure of human discovery. Thank you for being here with us as the presence of God among us, and also our teacher, our friend, our brother. Thank you for being the conveyor of the Holy Spirit into our body, heart, soul, and being, that we may find the Holy Spirit present in all of life, giving us the revelations, the presence, and the realizations that are waiting for us to discover, and all of the healing that we seek, and the wholeness that is ours to have at any moment we are willing to receive. Thank you, God, for all your eternal love. Amen. the transmission is complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. It's okay to fall asleep, but don't think. Your mind can't comprehend what is happening or what has happened or what has been given. Simply be blessed. Be with God. May the love of God be with you now and always. And my love is with you as well. Bye-bye for now.